Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We're so excited to have you with us today, as we are here every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So this is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Now would you join us for devotion? We're going to have a song by June Rochelle, Worship, and we'll have a scripture by Eric Jefferson and a prayer by Mark Bryant.
Scripture tonight from the book of Mark, from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 6 through 13, the New Living Translation, which reads, Jesus replied, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was prophesying about you when he said, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away. Their worship is a farce. For they replace God's commandments with their own man-made teachings. For you ignore God's specific laws and substitute your own traditions.' Then he said, 'You reject God's law in order to hold on to your own traditions. For instance, Moses gave you this law from God, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who speaks evil of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I could have given to you. You let them disregard their needy parents. As such, you break the law of God in order to protect your own tradition. And this is only one example. There are many, many others. I've read for you from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 6 through 13. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading here and the doing of his word.
Dear Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for all the things that you've done for us, your strength that you've given us to even wake up and have breath in our bodies. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you lead and guide and direct our every step, that you give us the knowledge to be good stewards of the mercy and the grace that you have given us each day. Lord, we ask that you forgive us for all of our sins, that you bless us, Lord, to do thy will, that you have your hand upon us, and that our territories be enlarged. Lord, we ask that you bless each and every one that hears that which is said today. Lord, we ask that you place your anointing upon this Bible class. Lord, we ask that you reach throughout the earth, Lord, that your word be magnified, Lord, and glorified, Jesus. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that which you've done and that which you're going to do. We uplift you and we continue and always will give you the praise. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Well, we are so excited and we just thank everybody for participating in the devotion. We thank Jen Rochelle for that rendition. We thank Brother Jefferson for reading the scripture, and we thank Brother Brian for prayer. It was a wonderful prayer. So we are so excited to have you all with us tonight, and we are going to have a grand time. This month, we've been dealing with the topic, is it about tradition, or should it be a new thing? And I started to say Reverend Jefferson, Minister Eric Jefferson, I'm sorry for messing with you, Brother Jefferson has been leading us through the scripture as we've talked about this topic through during the first week of Traditions of God. Last week we talked about why does God break God's own tradition. And this week we're going to be talking about looking to a new thing. And we'll be looking at the scriptures, Isaiah 43, 18 through 19. We may not get all of these, but at least you can have them ready as we get ready to go through them. Isaiah 48, 1 through 11, and Hebrews 10, 1 through 15, and anything else Brother Jefferson might ask us to do. But these are our foundational scriptures. Feel free to read those to help have clarity about the Bible study, and call in tonight if you'd like at 646-478-4932. Brother Jefferson, are you ready to take us in? You ready to go?
Yes, Dr. Suvi, thank you. Thank all of you for being with us. But before we get started, can we get a roll call? I've got Dr. Suvi, Brother Mark Bryant, I believe I heard Dr. Nook.
Yes.
Is anyone else with us this evening at this particular point in time?
That's just for now.
All right, well, we'll go ahead and get started. As always, I'd like to take a point of privilege to offer up my own prayer. I got to tell you, I'm a little bit under the weather. The heat and the sinuses in South Alabama have just been killing me lately. But we thank God for being here tonight and being able to participate with this Bible study. So, gracious Father, we thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and your many blessings for us, your people, Father, as we have decided to be faithful, Father, once again on a Tuesday night to come before you to study your word, looking at, is it about tradition or should it be about a new thing? For we know that you are about tradition, but you're always about the new thing as well, Heavenly Father. I pray that you would strengthen this old feeble body, Father, and strengthen my voice that as we discuss your word, that it may go forth to bring peace in this world, power in the people, your people, and an understanding, Father, that helps us to understand why you love us the way that you love us. And you prove that you loved us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his only life, your only begotten Son, who gave his life for we sinners, Father, for we know that we are sinners because we are made of flesh. But you found a way to redeem us. That was your plan all along. So, Father, may your words ring true. And may they spread across this Bible study and into the hearts of those that are listening. that we may not be the same people that got on this line when we get off, and that we will give you the praise, honor, and glory. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Again, thank all of you for being a part of the study tonight. And as we look to a new thing, we're going to read some familiar passages, one in particular, the Isaiah 43:18-19. And we'll talk about the context of which he uses that scripture. And then we'll talk about the context of why I think it's looking to a new thing. And then we'll look at Isaiah 48, as Dr. Souza said, 1-11, and Hebrews 10:1-15. So we know that God had instituted seven traditions, as we studied in week one of the giving of the tithe, the release of the debtors, the release of the Hebrew slaves. All of these are found in Deuteronomy, sacrificing the firstborn male animal, the Passover and the Festival of Unleavened Bread, the Festival of Harvest, and the Festival of the Shelters. And then we looked at week two, God saying that he didn't want people's sacrifices and blood offerings and burnt offerings anymore, because they basically were doing that and not being sincere of what God really wanted them to do, and looking after the widows and the orphans and the strangers and calling for justice where there were injustice. And we've seen a lot of that in our society today. So tonight we want to look at looking to a new thing. And Dr. Nooks, if you could read Isaiah 43:18-19 for me, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Okay. This is the New Living Translation. But forget all that it is, for forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland.
Thank you. Now Dr. Nooks, I want you to read that, because I want you to share with the listeners what context Isaiah is writing that in as God is speaking this to him. For the children of Israelite at this particular point in time, in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah.
Well, I kind of went back to the start of that chapter, and God is reminding the children of Israel that he is the Holy One, that he brought them out of Egypt, and also that he's going to send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in their ships. So God is going to bring about victory through them. But he bought them from Egypt, and now God is going to do something new with them.
Absolutely. And the new thing is that stuff that he's telling them ahead of time, because no idol could give them that information. God is making a distinct depiction that, you know, the children ended up in Babylon because of their sinful living and mostly their idolatry. I mean, God knew that man was sinful, but God stated right away that thou should have no other God before me. I am a jealous God. And God really means that. And while Israel was utilizing stone and wood and gold and silver to make idols, in today's society, we can make idols out of our jobs, our homes, our bank account, our cars, the things that we tend to do or want to do other than praising and worshiping God. And so what I want to do tonight is to use that as a backdrop to say that God is looking to a new thing that we should be looking for God to do in our lives as we submit ourselves and humble ourselves to God, because if we don't do that, we can suffer some issues that are far worse than what the Israelites ended up in their captivity, because what we will end up facing is being in hell for eternity. And I know many people don't talk about hell anymore, but that's the reality of it, is that when we get so far away from God that God turns his back on us, and I know that there are those who preach that, you know, once you're saved, you're always saved. But if we get too far away from God and God decides to turn his back, he always tries to leave an opening for us. The destination for us today is hell for eternity. And we just need to call that what that is. And so God is saying to them now, for I'm about to do a brand new thing. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness for my people to come home. I will create rivers for them in the desert. Because we normally don't think of rivers being in the desert and new pathways through the wilderness. But God can do all things, and he wants to speak to us as well. So with that, I want Mark, Brother Mark, do you have access to a Bible?
Yes.
You come off, you do. Can you read Isaiah 48, 1 through 11 for us? Because Isaiah 48 and Hebrews 10 are going to be the cornerstone for our conversation tonight.
Isaiah 48, 1 through 11.
Yes.
Listen to me, O family of Jacob. You who are called by the name of Israel, are born into the family of Judah. Listen, you who take oath in the name of the Lord and call on the God of Israel, you don't keep your promises. Even though you call yourself the holy city, you talk about depending on God, you talk about depending on the God of Israel, whose name is the Lord of heaven's armies. Long ago I told you what was going to happen. Then suddenly I took action, and all of my predictions came true. For I know how stubborn and obstinate you are. Your necks are as unbending as iron. Your heads are as hard as bronze. That is why I told you what would happen. I told you beforehand what I was going to do. Then you could never say, my idols did it. My wooden image and metal God command it to happen. You have heard my predictions and seen them fulfilled, but you refuse to admit it. Now I will tell you new things, secrets you have not heard. They are brand new, not things from the past. So you cannot say, we knew that all the time. Yes, I will tell you the things that are entirely new, things you never heard of before, for I know so well what traitors you are. You have been rebels from birth. Yet for my own sake and for the honor of my name, I will hold back my anger and not wipe you out. I have refined you, but not as silver is refined. Rather, I have refined you in the furnace of suffering. I will rescue you for my sake. Yes, for my own sake. I will not let my reputation be tarnished, and I will not share my glory with idols.
Hey, man. So what is God saying to his children right there, Brother Brian?
he's specifically telling them that you all are disobedient, you are hard-headed, you have believed in your own self, your created idols, and he's given them a stern warning that if you continue to do what you're doing, you're basically going to go to hell. But he's also saying that I will offer you a way out. I will rescue you. And I thought this was really interesting. He said, I will rescue you for my sake, and I would not let my reputation be tarnished. You know, and I thought that was really interesting that he's, you know, so even beyond your own foolishness and your own actions and that which you do wrong, I'm going to offer you an opportunity to come unto me because of my own namesake, because my name is Jesus, because I've come to save you all from your sins. I thought that was empowering, that God would look beyond our worst thoughts, which is ourselves, and see our needs and seek to save us.
Amen. And I'm going to get some other comments here, and I think Sister Sean has joined us. I think it's interesting that God would say that for his own namesake and his own glory, but yet it says that, listen to me, O family of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel and born into the family of Judah. Listen, you who take oath in the name of the Lord and call on the Lord, the God of Israel. So we take the oath and we call on his name, but yet between that statement and him saying that he's going to do it for his own sake, what happens in there, Dr. Nooks?
We're not obedient. We don't. We're hypocrites. We're far from God sometimes.
Does that sound anything familiar like today?
Amen. Amen.
I mean, does that sound like some of us in some of our churches and and those of us who should be standing up and saying something, we just kind of sit there because we don't want to rock the boat, or we don't want to be perceived as you know, being causing conflict or being outside of what is popular in our churches?
Yeah, we ought to call them sinos, like rhinos, or Christian in name only.
Yeah, and how do you think God really feels about that? I mean, especially if we're saying that we are his likeness, we are his children, and yet we live way contrary to what his standards is for us. What do you think about that, Sister Sean? Might be on mute, sister. Dr. Susie, any comments on that? What do you think about that? I mean, we read this, but I see this clearly in today's church. Is she on mute too?
Well, this is James. I'm not on mute.
Okay.
I think we hurt God. I think God weeps over what he sees in the church. He mentioned earlier about people. We talked last week, I think, about people having ceremonies and burnt offerings and whatnot, and being far from God. It doesn't really mean anything. And that's where we get when we have rituals, and our service can sometimes be rituals. And we've often talked about relationship. We have to have a relationship with God, and that's what God seeks. It's not how many times you don the church door, how many times you're sitting in the pews, and even how many offices you hold in the church. If you don't really have a relationship with God, then it really doesn't mean anything. And I think God is reminding Israel of that here. But for God's own sake and for God's own name, God was going to rescue and bless Israel, because they're God's people. And we're God's people. And I think God rescues and blesses us and has mercy and grace upon us because we are God's people. I mean, it means something to be God's people, to be connected with God, those that are truly connected with God. And I really question that everybody that says Lord, Lord, really is a part of God.
Amen. And you're absolutely right, because I mean, you know, in the 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, it was politically correct to be a part of a church. And I don't know that that's true anymore. I mean, we've got fewer and fewer people that claim Christianity now, and I, my My personal belief, and this is Eric, is that because of the way that Christians began to live and show themselves outside of the church walls, convinced most who were outside of the church that they didn't need to be a part of that kind of organization because they were living the same way that I was living. You know, I'm out here, and I know I'm out here, but yet you tell me you're a Christian and you go to church, and yet there seems to be really no difference between me and you. So why do I need to get up and go spend, you know, 3 hours on Sunday morning at a church building when I can go do whatever I want to eat? And now we have many people who say they're in the church who don't go to church on Sundays and spend 3 hours on Sunday doing whatever they want to do. And I think that that's what grieves God from my perspective the most, is that we say we are Christians, which Christians means Christ-like, as I've been taught, but yet we don't show the characteristics that Christ showed. It's
Amen.
Just really
so
all
Eric,
about us.
This is Dr. Susie, and you know, one of the challenges is that the institutional church has dismayed, not lived up to, at times, the role. And as a result, people, some, have lost not faith in God, but faith in the church, the church per se. And I listened to Dr. Nooks talk to me about people who he serves as clients. And they tell him all the time about situations and circumstances where they were in a situation in the church, and the church basically turned them off of not of God, from God. They love the Lord, but they've given up trying to do corporate worship. And people like who struggle with evangelists like Creflo Dollar, where they perceive that it's about a prosperity gospel and not about relationship or other things, or, you know, people see those things differently. So as they perceive that, then they judge the whole church by mm-hmm. actions of a few or some. You hear what I'm saying? And so what we have to do is to live into this prophecy of being new, doing what God said, as we read earlier about, you know, I'm here to do a new thing. And we may need to understand that that may look new in a lot of different ways. How we used to communicate may not be a good way to do it anymore, or how we used to talk to people, or the religiosity or the traditions or the rituals may not be the productive way. What may be as productive is the way that Jesus did it. And Jesus was not a part of the institutional synagogue. He was always on the outskirts. And so working with the people, having his hand in the lives of people, changing their lives, walking with them, instead of having the people always giving to the synagogue, doing for the synagogue, when the synagogue has to sometimes do something for those individuals so that they can see Christ in the midst of that, feeding the hungry, sustaining the poor.
Amen.
Amen, Dr. Susan. And that is the looking to a new thing. You absolutely brought up where we were headed, is that it is in how Christ did. It is in being authentic. It is in one-to-one relationship with the people that we come in, with the people that are in our circle of influence that we can mentor to, and that we can talk to, and that we can share God's love and our own individual stories. And I think that's what, from my perspective, we have gotten away from is being a witness, because we think now that the witness is supposed to be the preacher and the choirs and, you know, the deacons and all of that. But we are the witness. We can do the witnessing by telling our own story about what God has done for us and how he's worked in our life and how he sustained us even through the darkest of times. But we don't want to do that. You know, we want to give the air that we've always been in the church. And brothers and sisters listening out there, all of us not have always been in the church. We have not always sat on the front pew. We have not always been, you know, at the right hand of God. Some of us was living life totally, totally different. And I was one. I don't make any bones about it. Anybody that's been on here long enough know that. I know what I was. And I, Dr. Susie reminds me all the time. I tell the story. When I got baptized, I just came up a wet devil because a whole lot didn't change right away. But over time in building that relationship with God, because that's where everything else comes together, is that when you build that true, authentic relationship with God, and then he empowers you to be able to do those other things, and he gives you the strength and the courage and the words and the knowledge and the understanding to be authentic and have those conversations with those individuals who are seeking God. And so it really isn't the church building on the block that we see, but it's the individual churches of our soul and how we align those with the people that we come into contact with or the people that we see struggling.
But Brother Eric, I have a question. As we look at that 48, 1 through 11, there's something distinctive that I really like you to bring out, and that is that though the people were living there, they had not changed. And even though that they knew that they would be brought back, God was intentional about making sure that Isaiah gave them the prophecy so that they would know that it was God delivering them, and so that they wouldn't have an attitude of self-confidence to think it was about them. And that God had foretold this is going to happen, but they didn't know how. And so Isaiah was coming to say this is how it was going to be. And so the issue for me is even when we go through the exiles, the challenge, what is it about that nature that refuses to transform? Because I think that's the whole part of the that God wanted us to know, that God didn't want to destroy them. What God desired is that the furnace was there to test them, to transform them into what God really, the authentic worship that we were talking about last week.
Yeah, and so when we talked in week one, we talked about those seven traditions and those traditions being instituted so that man would always have a connection to God to realize what God had done for man, that would be a remembrance of God, I brought you out of Egypt, out of slavery, and here are some things that I want you to institute as traditions so that you will always know that it was me, that you can depend on me, that you can look to me, and I will be there in your time of need and trouble. But our nature is that, as I've always looked at it, is that when we start, the further we get away from anything that God has done for us in our lives, the less we depend on God, the more we depend on ourselves, and we start to look at it, well, look what I did, look what I did. And we forget about God until the next major trial, and it's only when we get in the next major trial that we know that there is no place for us to go, because we're going to try to do everything we can do first. We're going to call certain people. We're going to say certain things. We're going to try to, you know, scheme and think about, okay, how can I make this move to make this happen? How can I do this, do that happen? When none of that works, and we finally come to our senses, when we come to our right mind as a prodigal son and fall on our knees and say, okay, Lord, only you, only through you can this be accomplished, then God lets us know that we are, in fact, his children. And I think that is absolutely what is transpiring in this passage, Dr. Susie, is that he is making them remember. He is calling them, so you don't remember all the other stuff that I've done, so I'm going to do a new thing. And I think he's specifically talking about restoring them to their homeland, but I think ultimately he's looking out the crisis coming and saying, I'm going to really, really do a new thing to redeem you so that you'll know that it was me. Because what the way Christ came, no one had ever even conceived that a virgin would have a child. I mean, God is having Isaiah to really stretch them at this point. And so, yeah, we think that, okay, so he's going to bring me back to Jerusalem, to Judah, and I'm going to be out of exile with the Babylonians. But I think what God is really speaking to us, as we have the opportunity to read this now, is that I'm showing you that I'm going out even further than that to something that no one could have conceived of in this particular point in time. Anybody else want to make a comment on what's going on here as we look at God talking about they call on his name, they say they're children of Israel, but yet they are unruly, they are stubborn, they are obstinate, and then God is talking about, you know, you've heard my predictions and seen the fulfillment, but yet you refuse to admit it, thinking that it's on them or what they've done, and now he's telling them new things and new secrets that are never mentioned before. And he's doing it for his own sake, for his own name's sake.
Amen.
Dr. Diggs, are you with us? Be on mute. Well, if not, then I want us
Brother
to look
Brute
at.
Brother Brute is there as well.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
Brother Brett?
Yeah.
Any comment on that 48th chapter, verses 1 through 11 of Isaiah, from your perspective?
The only thing I can. The only thing that really touches me besides the whole thing in general is when he talks about their necks being stiff and their heads being hard. I think that is something that our children have to go through that, because they get to a point where they want to feel like they have accomplished something on their own, not knowing that in the end, if you don't pray about it first before you act on it, it's not going to happen. And I think that's what a lot of people do, even those that have been raised in the church. And I've been guilty of it myself. I've gotten out here, I've done some things, and I thought I was doing all this myself. But, hey, when I least expected something to happen and I had to fall on my knees and ask God to help me. We all do that. I think we just want to feel like we have accomplished something on our own. Not so much that we're forgetting about God. It's just that I think that's part of the human nature of people, is that everybody wants to accomplish something. People, they go to college, they get their degrees and stuff, and they want to fall back on those degrees to get good jobs and stuff, but there's not enough jobs out here for that to happen. People that graduate from high school, they think that's good enough for them to get a good job, not knowing they have to go to the next level of education. And I think this is the same thing that happens with us when we get into our Bible study and our belief system. We are comfortable at a certain level, and we have graduated from the Sunday school level, and we're in between Sunday school and adult church. And as we grow, we'll continue to get to the point that when we do get into adult church, we'll be able to help to restructure that being also, because I think what God is trying to tell us is that we have been so complacent with being who we want to be, doing what we want to do, and that's not what God's plan is. And I think that's why we're seeing a lot of stuff happen out here in our neighborhoods now, all these killings and shootings and people acting crazy and stuff. You know, God's trying to tell the older people, hey, you got to get back in church. Go ahead.
Well, I hear you and concur with you, but I also would like to raise this question for a lot of us, and that is that if God has created us and made us and know us better than we know ourselves, how can we ever think we can accomplish anything outside of God?
This is Mark. I think you've made
And I think that this is Dr. Susie. No, go ahead, Mark. Go ahead.
I think you made a critical observation, is that how can we think anything of ourselves if we recognize that God has made us, mind, soul, spirit, body. If we recognize that there shouldn't be anything that we should look to in regards to our inner selves or inner being or inner thoughts ever make us think that we, one, have control, and two, can give guidance to anything without God's direction and provision. But I
this is Dr. Susie. Mark, in relation to that, so is that sin?
I would say so. I would say either knowingly or unknowingly, sin is sin. But God has given us a way out of sin, and unfortunately, there's unfortunate and fortunate. Fortunately, God has given us certain gifts and talents. But those talents and gifts do not mirror who God is and what God can do for us. And the bottom line is we have to understand that we are made of mind, soul, body, and spirit, and God made us. And if we have any intelligence whatsoever, we use that intelligence to seek God for the use of our minds, our bodies, our souls, our spirits, and not lean upon our own understanding. Because I think if we seek Him and not our own understanding, then He will direct our path.
This is Sean.
Go ahead, Sean.
No, I was going to say, I think that for the most part, we look outside of ourselves because we don't know any better. I think that's being lost in the world. That's the devil does not, evil does not want us to understand our own power. The power is within us, which is the Spirit of God. God is actually in us, and that's not what people are taught or put it this way, it's not talked a lot about, let's put it that way. So people are always looking outside of themselves to affirm who they are or, you know, to say, hey, I can do X, Y, Z. So to me, once you get saved and you have a relationship with God, I think, you know, a lot of understanding and clarity comes because He says He renews your mind. And with the renewal of your mind gives you the right perspective and understanding that, like Mark said, the gifts and talents that we have are coming from God. He's using us. He's going to, using us to demonstrate His ability, whatever your gifts may be. So when you produce and you're at the height of your production, whatever that may be, whether that's in music, entertainment, business, whatever your talent or gift is, that is God manifesting Himself through you. And that's the power that most of us don't know until we have a relationship with God. And it's He, like I said, He renews your mind and He gives you the right perspective. And then you understand that that's the Spirit of God, like I said, manifesting Himself through you. And that's the thing I think a lot is missing or is not talked a lot about in church or just, you know, in understanding that God is not just with you, He is in you. And so when you understand that, then the fear is gone. Or I think for the most part it should be gone because then you understand, like Revelation, the war is over. He already won. The devil has got you in the dark and thinking that, you know, you're still in the battle, but you already won. So it's a thing of just the right perspective, and that comes with renewal of your mind.
Amen.
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 This is Britt.
I agree with what she says, but I have one problem. How many generations do we have out here that have never set foot in a church, that have never been taught about the Bible in their home? There's a lot of young people out here now, a lot of adults out here that have never, ever been in church, except possibly on Easter Sunday to show off their new clothes. When I think about the decline in the church, and I think about a lot of times, what can we do to get people to come back? There's got to be something that we, as church people and as religious people, need to do in order to start getting people to come back and get in the church. And then once we get them there, we got to keep their attention, because that means that the church has got to change to go along with the modern times, to teach in a way that it'll bring it and make it more exciting to keep younger people there in the church and get them to join. But that
Brett,
has been a problem
Eric.
That I've been... Go ahead.
Brett, this is Eric. So uh-huh. what do you think the church needs to do? Let me ask that question.
That I'm not sure of. I think there needs to be... I think the Bible needs to be taught in a positive tone instead of a negative. See, I was 69. When I was coming up, it was always the fear of God. You got to fear God. There was nothing that was ever said that was to make God somebody you want to love, somebody you want to be like, somebody you want to walk in His path. It was always, you got to fear Him, because if not, the devil's going to get you, and da 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 da. Well, I think a lot of those ministers are just about out of here now. And I think that we need to start looking at things in a more positive tone and preach about the love of God and what God can do for us and how He can help us through whatever in a positive way, not in a negative way.
Anybody else out there want to comment on what they think the church needs to do today?
This is Mark.
This is,
I think
this is James.
Mark and then James.
I think Rick brings up a very, very valid point that we have a decrease in the number of young people who now go into church, enter in church, or may have not even heard of church. But I go back to the Bible where it speaks that God, he's not going to have the rocks cry out. And if it means that God does a new thing and changes the whole paradigm in regard to how church is presented to young people, whether it be over the internet or whether it be over telephone or whether it be over some type of other medium, God's word will go out throughout the world. And so my sole concern is not that these young people will not receive the information, because I do believe if it means that God will provide another medium or direct another medium, that His word will be heard, it won't come back void, and that His will be done. I agree. I don't have the answers. But I think there are opportunities that we can take advantage of to reach those who we thought might have not been reachable. And we've got to also recognize that though we plant the seed, we may not see the growth of that seed, but we do have a duty to plant that seed.
All right, Dr. Nook.
I think we need to regain the soul of the church, and I think that is through service and love, and we need to change. I think the whole, and I think Mark used the term paradigm, but our churches in many cases are based upon getting members, getting money, building fabulous buildings, having $60 million airplanes, and and not to that extreme, but it's about gain rather than service. Jesus gave the example, and when he washed the disciples' feet, he said, do likewise. And that's what we're to be as servants. And Jesus also commanded us to love one another and even to love our enemies. And I think it was demonstrated in when the nine people were killed in South Carolina that love is what sets the hearts of people. And I think when we start really serving and loving people, I think the church will change. And that's what God has commanded us to do. God is love, and we are to love each other. And we're to love, how can we say that we love God and we don't love our brother or sister who's right in front of us? So I think
this
that's the change that needs to happen. Go ahead.
This is Dr. Susie. I just want to make a quick remark, and that's regarding the church. And I want to interject that I think, as Brett said, that's changing the old paradigm of being legalistic and operating in the Old Testament, that I think we are, as churches, striving to be New Testament churches who understand that Christ is living in our hearts and that this is the era of grace. And instead of legalism, and I think as we go forward, we need to understand that. And it's so necessary to have grace because, as I think someone said on the line, is that we have so many believers that don't have any knowledge of the text. They don't have, but that's why, you know, it's so important to invite people to Bible study. You know, we have the same old people, and we need to be intentional about inviting someone to come with us. And, you know, this group has committed to Bible study for 10 years now. This is our 10th year. And as a result, we need to be wanting to share that with someone else. Because the more people that we can share the word with, it's not, as I think Dr. Nix was saying, about the money, but it's about the relationships. And I know it's somebody out there that we know who needs to hear the word of God. I mean, somebody we know that we could say, hey, join in with us on Tuesday night so that you can be encouraged. Or join in with us on Tuesday night so that you can get the very learning, the Shanti thing that, you know, as people we need to have study of the scripture. But we don't have the passion and the commitment of ourselves to invite other people. And how can we not glean for ourselves and not reach out to carry forth the understanding of discipleship? You know, we can't be complacent, even though we're here talking about the traditions of other people, but we have an accountability to disciple as well. And we should be reaching out to other people, encouraging them to hear the word. So as I'm listening to people out there today who are listening on radio, you know, please come back and join us every Tuesday so that you can hear the word and be a part.
Yeah,
thank
this is Eric. Thank you, Dr. Susan. I'm going to read Hebrews 10:1-15. But I would also like to add that I think for also the churches is that we need to let people know that the Bible is relevant for their lives today and to teach people how to live their lives today using the Bible because it is relevant even today. The last scripture, we may not have a lot of time to discuss, so I want us to really think on that as we get ready to come back for next week as we look to God's new thing. And this scripture is actually pointing us directly to what that is and who that is. And so we'll leave with this and look at prayer request and praise report. So this is Hebrews 10. This is the New Living Translation, verses 1 through 15. The old system and the law of Moses was only a shadow of things to come, not the reality of the good things Christ has done for us. The sacrifices under the old system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feeling of guilt would have disappeared. But just the opposite happened. those yearly sacrifices reminded them of their sins year after year, for it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. That is why Christ, when he came into the world, said, "You did not want animal sacrifices and grain offerings, but you have given me a body so that I may offer, you have given me a body so that I may obey you. No, you were not pleased with animal burned on altars or with other offerings for sin. Then I said, 'Look, I have come to do your will, O God, just as it is written about me in the scriptures.' Christ said, 'You don't want animal sacrifices or grain offering or animals burned on altars or other offerings of sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they were required by law, by the law of Moses.' Then he added, 'Look, I have come to do your will.' He cancels the first covenant in order to establish the second. And what God wants is for us to be made holy by the sacrifices of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands before the altar day after day, offering sacrifices that can never take away sin. But our high priest offered himself to God as one sacrifice for sin, good for all time. Then he sat down at the place of highest honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled as a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering he perfected forever all those whom he is making holy. And the Holy Scriptures also testify that this is so. First, he said, 'This is a new covenant I will make with my people on the day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart so that they will understand them. And I will write them on the minds so that they will obey them.' Then he adds, 'I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. And when sin has been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices.'" And actually, I read through verse 17 for you. So as we prepare to come back next week, we're going to be looking at God's new thing. Read that scripture again and let that be the foundation for which we build on next week as we look at God's new thing. And we'll look at Hebrews 10, 16 through 18, and Jeremiah 31, 29 through 34, and 1 John 4, 7 through 21. And with that, Dr. Susie, I'll turn it back over to you. Thank you all.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jefferson. Awesome, awesome study. Are there any prayer requests or praise concerns we need to look at this week?
This is Sean. My prayer request is that God would show me where he would have me to live, and just that he would give me favor and just guiding and directing and opening that door for me. And then also in terms of guidance and direction on my business, I've been working just a regular job, but there's been opportunity to seems like the door is opening for the business, and I'm not sure if that's the door I need to walk through or not. So I need God's direction and clarity on that as well.
Amen. Who would like to close us in prayer tonight?
Sure, I'll
Sean,
close.
Since you were the last. Okay, would you please close us? Thank you.
Sure. All right, first off, I want to thank God for blessing me with a contract to go and continue to open up doors. Ask a special prayer for Carpet Design Studio Architects as his company grows, as well as the other companies on the line. Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your kindness. We thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we ask that you hear our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our souls, our spirits. Lord, let it be directed to you and for you. Lord, allow us to be a blessing to others as you bless us. Lord, extend our hearts, extend our territory, extend our thoughts, Lord, for you, Jesus. Bless those that you have called into your kingdom, Jesus. Lord, we ask that you'd have your way and know the deeds that we need to do for your will. We ask in the name of Jesus. but your will be done.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
Thank you, everybody.